if someone's ever given you one of those monthly subscription gifts where you get the chocolate of the month, or this is a real one, the socks of the month club, every month you're like, oh, that's a fun little gift, and it reminds you that they were thinking of you. Well, buckle up, Buttercup. We're about to take subscription services to a whole new level. It's the Chicken of the Month Club. That's right. You can join me and other potties and WayFM listeners at fh.org/Wally Show and give two chickens to a different family every month. Now, chickens in these developing countries make a huge difference in the lives of these families. These chickens provide a sustainable source of protein through their eggs every day, which helps nourish malnourished kids. And since chickens multiply quickly, it's a great side hustle for these families in that they can generate income by selling eggs or chicks in the market. And by you doing a $28 a month gift, you can make sure that a different family gets two chickens every month. That's kind of cool and very different. If someone gave me two chickens every month, I wouldn't know what to do with that. But in these other countries, they not only know what to do with them, they're also very thankful for people thinking of them and helping them out of these tough times. So what I love about Food for the Hungry is their mission to end poverty by going to the places and walking with some of the world's most vulnerable people, and they've done it for 50 years. You can trust them and you can do some good right now. So go to fh.org/Wally Show if you want to join our Chicken of the Month Club. Welcome to the Wally Show Aftercast. This is the stuff we did not get to during the course of the show today. We'll try to get through this with Betty Rock being as least distracted as we can.
I promise anything.
TikTok video of this cute little teacup chihuahua with his little eyes bulging out. It's adorable.
Precious. And he's got a cleft palate.
Oh, that makes it even cuter.
It's so cute.
What was his name?
His name was Taco Le Chihuahua.
Taco Le Chihuahua.
That's so good.
And so he's a TikTok star, obviously. But now she's on the dog train.
I was on the cat train.
I know you were.
And I was doing fine. Choo-choo. Yeah. And then you sent me that video. And now I'm looking at puppyfind.com to see if... And here's the thing, too. I know people are going to judge me if I have this cute little chihuahua puppy, because then they're going to say, there's plenty of dogs in the pound. I know that, but I don't want this mixed breed of something.
Gavin wasn't here when this happened, though, because this is one of my favorite things maybe to ever come out of Betty Rock's mouth. So I was curious how much this... She goes, oh, you're not going to believe it. I can't do this. This dog ranges between $1,500 and $5,000. She
hilarious,
meant $5,000,
right?
But she saw the numbers. It's like, it's $1,500.
So funny.
That's really expensive. That's,
and non-existent.
That humor is priceless.
Oh, I love it.
Adamsville, Tennessee? Is that far?
It's in Tennessee.
Well, obviously, Gavin. Where's Adamsville, Tennessee? I'm spitballing here, but I believe Tennessee.
Oh, I'm in the ballpark.
Wait, that's as bad as 1,500, man.
That's far.
Oh, like three,
but is it worth
hours?
It for this puppy?
Is it
perhaps
worth it?
Perhaps.
But you might have to spend the money, too.
Well, I looked at the price.
Is this
crazy.
One 1,500?
It ranges from.
It's $1,850.
Oh, wow. I can't.
But can you put a price tag on love?
Yes.
Yes. Absolutely. You know what? To get you out of this, you need to dog sit Ellie for Gavin.
Oh, no.
No, she's so easy to dog sit.
No, she's big and I bet she stinks.
No, I just showed you a picture.
Smell.
We literally just gave her a bath. Yeah. She smells like oatmeal.
Did you just say I don't like dogs, though?
I said I don't like dog smell.
Oh, dog smell. Well, then you're looking at a dog.
But it's little. There's a little smell compared to a bigger smell.
I've told you this before because you're just like me. Like remember Sir Doodle, the dog that I gave false hope to on adoption day because I thought we were taking that dog home with us. And we walked around the store. We hung out. We fetched. It was glorious. And then my wife put the kibosh on it. But rightfully so. Because you, Betty Rock, and me... Mm-hmm. are both cat people. At our core, we are cat people because we don't like to invest the time that it takes to love a dog.
It's so
but
worth
here's,
it.
I get what you're saying, but here's the thing, too. See, I think I would be...
You know, do me a favor. Is it raining? Go stand outside in the rain right now.
Because I'm...
Because that's what you're going to have to do. You have to walk the dumb dog in the rain.
Because now I'm thinking back to that's when true. I dog sat for that friend of mine who had three chihuahuas. Yeah.
You did not
enjoy
it.
And I was like, I'm ready to leave.
That's right.
I'm ready to go. But that was three.
Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter.
And
I'm trying to save you from yourself because I am you.
You're not seeing the picture I'm seeing.
Oh, no.
Okay, wait a minute. Look at this picture.
I know it's adorable.
Look
I know
at
it's
it.
Absolutely.
Just look at it.
Oh, my
my gosh, you must get two of them.
Just get three.
I told you. And can you imagine if his if his name was Beans?
Oh,
how cute would he be?
Imagine like that moment when he just lets out his annoying little yelp at you, like, and he won't shut up.
But it would be so cute. And if I could bring him here.
Okay, here's the deal.
That would be
cool. You're going to drop $1,800 on him.
Yeah.
But in a week or two, when you're tired of him, you could sell him to me for probably $600. Like, so you're going to lose some money, but I'm going to make money.
Oh, so now you want one.
Yeah, because that little guy is
adorable. You guys could trade him back and forth.
Right?
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
We could go in on it together, and then we have visiting rights.
I just want to beat him in the face.
I know. That's a cute little puppy. But again, you are a cat person. Be a cat person.
But am I a dog person now?
No. Have you owned a dog in the last 20 years?
No.
No.
No, you're not a dog person.
You can't be selfish and be a dog person. Yeah. You really can't.
Are you calling me selfish?
Yes.
This is a momentary desire that will pass when you go see the cat at home today.
But I'm calling me selfish too, like, because I know I'm not a dog person to own a dog. I love dogs; they're adorable, they're cute, they're fun to play with. But owning them is a whole nother ball game.
But that Taco Lake Chihuahua,
I know, it's cute, and just live through his Instagram.
I'm not giving up. I'm not giving up just yet. I'm going to do some more searching.
Okay.
I think what I'm worried about is you spend that much money on a dog and then the very following year, it dies.
Yeah.
And I'm like,
No, I can't. I'm still a pound puppy or cat person. I like doing that.
I'm all for that too. But
if you
want
to get they have to be cute.
Yeah, but if you want the very specific thing. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't want a big dog.
It's hard to find a specific breed, you know. Like that's where you have to get to know the people at the shelter and be like, all right, if you get a German Shepherd in here, call me, I'll come down and adopt it immediately.
Versus just going in to say, I want a dog versus I would like a teacup Chihuahua.
Right.
Tell me when you get one of those here.
Yeah, they'll never get one of those.
No.
Now, they could get a Chihuahua, but they may not get a teacup Chihuahua.
No.
And one is cute as they named him Moo.
Oh, because he looks like a little cow.
Oh, gosh.
He's white and black. He looks like a little dairy cow. Oh, man. Well, we'll see. I don't recommend it. You know what? I am curious about this. Okay, so we've talked a lot about COVID and all the stuff going on. But this is what's interesting, because I know there's so many people that get so bent about, like, people that don't get the vaccine. And again, like, I'm not on that train. I'm like, hey, you want to get it, get it. You don't want to get it, don't get it. LA is getting super restrictive right now. I just left there and it didn't feel that bad, but apparently now in LA proper, like LA County, where I was for part of my trip, you have to show proof of vaccination to go into restaurants, movies, gyms, and it's going to cause all this anger and animosity. Like, I have the card and I still resent being forced to prove my status, you know. Again, we try to protect everybody's stuff with HIPAA and all this other stuff. And I know they say, well, it's trying to protect things. But my point on this is the UN just endorsed the world's first malaria vaccine. How long have we had malaria running around? I mean, hundreds of years, you know, like, it's been a problem. And in places like Africa and different climates, it kills people. Like, it's a bad thing. So there's a vaccine that they're giving to children across Africa. It's giving them some hope here. It was first developed, though, in 1987.
So they've been working on it.
This vaccine was developed in 1987, and they just now approved it. Like, okay, so again, this is why I think people are like, hey, I'd like a little more time on the vaccine before you force me to inject this into my body. And I respect that. I have zero problem with that.
Yes.
Because if you look at this, when you go through this vaccine here, this is the fascinating thing. So you think after all those years, now they've got it dialed in and it's going to solve everybody's problem. Get this. The challenges of this malaria vaccine is that the vaccine is only 30% effective. It requires up to 4 doses and its protection fades after several months.
What?
Months?
Yeah, exactly. So this is not a great vaccine.
No.
But they're still saying the crisis is so big that, like, in, malaria in Africa alone causes 200 million cases and 400,000 deaths a year.
So at this point, it's
malaria.
Like, anything that you can use to fight it is going to be a good thing.
Exactly. So they're like, yeah, this is they're looking at this as like really positive, whereas we look at this and go, well, that's not really great numbers. But for them, when it's so out of control,
they need something.
They're worth, you know, it's worth the risk. And I know that that's how some people look at COVID, saying, well, things are out of control, it's worth the risk. But that's good for you. And if you feel that it's worth the risk, absolutely. Thankful that we have the option to get them. That's great. Thankful that there is one, and thankful for the choice to be able to do that. But if somebody doesn't want to do this, okay. Like, I don't fear anyone that's unvaccinated. I don't fear breakthrough cases. I don't fear, because I'm vaccinated. If the odds are if I get sick, it's going to be mild, you know, and inconvenient. So, like, to me, and I'm not going to get mad at somebody. You know, there's this real us and them thing that's going on. But I this is why I'm really passionate about people's right to choose in this instance.
Well, and also, follow-up question. Wasn't it in California, where people were really not liking the governor or the mayor.
Yeah, Newsom. Yeah, it was California.
Yes, is he part of this decision?
Oh, yeah.
And do you think he's making this decision because he's trying to earn the people's liking back?
People were mad at him for all this stuff. Like, the people that wanted him recalled were because he was so heavy-handed with COVID, but now he survived the recall, and that's why I think he's like, boom! And again... Mm-hmm. Most of these people, I don't think everyone is this nefarious, you know, mustache-wielding person. Like, I think most of the people that are working inside of this, regardless of what side they're on, honestly, genuinely believe they're doing what is best.
Right.
Like, from his perspective, I believe he thinks he's right and he's doing what's best. But then other people that oppose him feel they're right and feel he's not doing the best things.
Right, and also I get where people are saying, I don't want to get it. And I respect that because I forget where I was going with that. I'm sorry.
I was really excited.
I got caught up by Chihuahua puppies.
Oh, it did happen.
What was I going
to
say?
I respect everyone's right to have a Chihuahua vaccine.
No. Well, I think, okay, here's what I was going to say. So people have this stand on, if I give in to this, what else are they going to force me into?
Oh.
And I completely understand
that.
Because you have every right. If you say, well, like, I agree with you. I don't think they have a nefarious, like, idea about we're going to make this vaccine and it's going to make everybody walking zombies.
We're going to rule the world.
Right. I don't think that that's, I think they're actually looking for the well-being of everyone. I do agree with that. But that does not mean that you should push it on people and make them. And already you would have to admit that those that haven't gotten the vaccine, their life is going to be a lot more difficult.
But that's the reason.
Wrong.
I think that's my frustration. The reason, and again, I'm vaccinated, so I mean, why would I care? I can go. Here's my card, and I go. But see, I chose to get vaccinated for different reasons. And
you found your reason.
I found my reason exactly, and a lot of it deals with inconvenience and wanting to travel. But see, that's how they're getting the compliance, is by that. And so I don't think that's right. So I definitely, even though I am vaccinated, I would support people's right to not get vaccinated, and definitely not government's right to mandate, or not their right, their choice to try to mandate and force compliance. I'm a big fan of the least government interaction as possible. I'm all about that because, again, we talk about slippery slope where, okay, today it's a vaccine, and I know these are far, far-reaching steps that seem crazy, but tomorrow it could be about something you believe in and you're really passionate about, you know? We're watching the abortion debate heat up in Texas and things like that. These are all places where government is getting into things, and it gets very passionate on both sides. And so you have to stand for what you believe in, and you have to, you know, draw your line in the sand. And that's okay, too. That's what makes America great. At the end of the day, even though we disagree on things, that's what makes this country great, is we can do that. But it's just like the Bible. Honestly, this is the whole thing, man. You know, the Bible talks about, it never says, don't get angry. It's not in the Ten Commandments. It doesn't say, don't get angry. In fact, it says, you are going to be angry. You're going to be mad. You're going to be frustrated with people. And what it says is, in your anger, do not sin. And so God knows, he wired us. He made us this way. He knows we are going to bump and bruise each other. But in that, don't sin. So how do we treat people? And then it comes back to the golden rule. Love, you know, your neighbor as yourself. Annie F. Downs, who was on the show with us yesterday for the Aftercast, had that great little position on, you know, not love God as God, not love God as your friend, not love God as someone you love, but love God as yourself, because we tend to really like ourselves. And we're not going to put ourselves in any, you know, uncomfortable situation if possible. So don't do that to somebody else. And mm-hmm. So the whole thing of all of this is, man, we got to get better at grace and walking through these difficult things in a godly manner, even if it, you know, because we're believers and our faith gets intertwined into our politics too.
But I think what's hard about this is if you don't get the vaccine or if you do get the vaccine, whatever your decision is, it will affect others.
Oh, it does. That's where the problem is because this
is something that you can't separate.
Right.
Like how do you make a country where half is going to be vaccinated right. and half isn't going to be vaccinated?
But it's just like freedom of speech. Because your freedom of speech ends where someone else's begins. Mm-hmm. And so we censor freedom of speech too. You know, like you can't get on the internet anymore with hate speech, you know, because you have to, and that's the problem with it, because in its purest form, freedom of speech, you have to protect all speech. You have to protect the speech you don't like, the speech you hate, the speech that is vile, because in doing that, you are protecting your freedom of speech too. But we still have things that intertwine and get murky, and that's exactly where we're at with COVID.
I think another problem I have is that I don't see, and again, I'm not a scientist or a smart person by any means, but what's the difference between the flu vaccine and the COVID vaccine? Because to me, let's say you have someone who's immunocompromised and someone that's very important to you, and they get the vaccine for the flu, but then they go to the grocery store and they're around people that have the flu and they don't realize it because right. they didn't get the vaccine. Are you mad at them?
Right.
Are you saying that they're ungodly or
right. no? And that's the thing.
Selfish.
Then the argument behind that is, well, the flu is less communicable, less deadly, and so it's not as big of a deal. Although this was on the news today. They're like, guess what? A lot of people did not get the flu last year. You're like, yay. Oh, no, that's bad, they're saying, because this year we could have a flu breakout in addition to COVID because their immunity is low because people didn't get it. So they're like, get your shot. So like, just every time you go anywhere today, it's like, get a shot for something. It's mm-hmm. crazy. This is a funny story Betty Rock found, and I pulled real quick. The modern day mob is having a problem with its younger members, and it's because they are texting too much and they lack loyalty. It's like, yeah, you got millennials in your mob, and that's a problem, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, back in the day, mobsters were loyal.
Yeah.
Or else.
Well, and also, too, in this article, it said that, you know, they're wimpy.
Yeah.
That they're not near as strong or as dedicated as the older generation.
I think that's true.
They weren't raised on the streets like the older generation. And so they're
soft.
Yeah, that's what they called them. They called them soft.
Really?
And so now they're getting the older generation and the younger generation of the mob into trouble because they're texting.
Yeah, because they're all high tech. Yeah.
They're texting about the things that they are doing.
God bless them. Like, and the mob's obviously bad, but like it goes to show you how each generation, I think we get a little softer. And like Gavin is way softer than me, but I'm softer than my dad. You know,
yeah.
Like my dad was tough as nails, and there's things that he did that I couldn't do, and there's things that I can do that Gavin can't do, and there's things that Gavin's kid won't be able to do that Gavin can do.
That kid's gonna.
I shudder to think what that
would
be. That's
going to be rough. Because it's already bad at this point. Ooh.
How much softer can we get?
That's going to be bad.
Oh, the next generation after Gen Z, I can't even imagine the amount of feelings that are going to be talked about. And
I have feelings.
Hey, what do you got for least of these, Lady Rock?
All right, so Renee Zellweger, she's a big-time actress, and she has gotten the part of playing Pam Hupp. She is a convicted killer, but she is playing like this in this movie. It's called The Thing About Pam. Well, Pam must be
I don't know
what the word is.
You can say it. You're a girl.
A whiter.
Yeah, she's a big girl.
a wider girl.
You're a big girl.
And so because of this...
I love how Betty Rock is like, how women do this. They're like, I can't be honest. I can't say what's actually on my head.
Well,
because
I don't know...
someone's going to get offended.
Well, I don't know what's right. I don't know
she's
what's
overweight.
I don't know what the right term is. She may not be. It might be that
she's wearing a fat suit. There you go. See, I helped you out.
What,
I'll
did
take
you?
The hit.
You yelled at me.
I know. No. I'm so sensitive. No, but here's the thing. Because like, you're literally making the whole point of this as you're trying to couch everything to not offend anybody's delicate sensibilities. And in Hollywood, they call it a fat suit when they wear these things. And so that's what it actually is called. And it's to make the actress look more like the person that they're playing. There's a lady recently, one of the actresses, that she's like, I regret wearing that for the role. Like, no, you looked more like the lady. You were just being her. I don't think, like, you can't take, like, say the story is about Dumbo the elephant, and then you make it a chicken, you know, because, elephants are big, and we don't want to fat shame elephants, so we're going to make this a chicken, or we're going to make it a skinny elephant. No, tell the story. It's okay, and no one, like, it's okay. You're not being rude.
Well, anyway, Renee Zellweger, she wore this fat suit that Wally wants to call a fat suit.
That's what Hollywood calls it.
And people are wondering if she will get backlash for this because, like Wally was saying, there have been other actresses that have worn fat suits and have gone back and apologized for wearing
those.
Boy,
now you're just throwing that term out like it's nothing, man.
Well, you shouted it at me and yelled at me. You know what? You seem a little tender right now. Are you a little offended?
Yeah, I am. I'm bothered by your use of the word fat suit so liberally.
Well, get over it! Scream at you like you didn't mean.
What did she say about this?
So, she hasn't said anything about it, but she has commented in the past,
roles that she was up for?
No, interviews articles that she's done. She said that she had to lose weight and then gain weight for other roles that she's done, and that actually has caused panic attacks for her. So, she's got a case for...
It's healthier for her.
But then some people might say, well, you shouldn't play the parts where you need to lose or gain weight if it's not good for your mental health.
She gained weight for Bridget Jones's Diary, and I don't know if she was doing that for the role or if that's where she was at in her life or whatever, but then, like, you watch some of these actors and actresses like gain a lot of weight and then have to lose it again. It goes on easy. It does not come off easy. And so I feel for them. That's hard. So doing the fat suit is actually better for her mental health and her physical health as well. And she's still playing the part and trying to, because that's what we do with parts that they do all the time, is that they're trying to find actors that look like the person and can accurately portray them. And that's not a rude thing. It's not like she's doing this. It's not, what would be rude is if, say, this actress didn't look like this and then you just went off on this tangent and went, oh, let's make her fat and jolly and funny or whatever. That's rude because you're being disingenuous to who the person truly was.
What if there was someone that needed to play you in a movie?
Yeah.
And it was someone who was... Let's say it was Ryan Seacrest Bobby Bones.
Yeah, they're both going to have to let themselves go.
But they're going to say, well, they're actually better radio DJs than you. So that's why we hired them. Would you be offended by that?
I would not believe that, first of all.
Oh, okay.
Because I know that's not true. I would fight that. I would say they should not play me because they're too good looking. Like, I would be like, no, they're too good looking. Like, I don't look that good. I don't look as good as either of them, even Bobby Bones. Ryan Seacrest, for sure, he's an Adonis. But, like, so I would say, no, find a more troll-like dad bod guy. Yeah, and get somebody. Like a Bradley Cooper, like, would work for me. Really? Rock? No? Okay.
I have no words.
Peter Billingsley would work for me, unfortunately.
But I think I get where some people are coming from, but then I also get where you're coming from.
Yeah, don't be a nine.
Once again, here we are, classic
nine,
am I right?
Stop at nine.
Do you want to move on? I want to move on. Let's go to birthdays.
Rock's exhausted.
I am.
She just wants to go look at Teacup Chihuahua.
I do.
Yeah, the aftercast just wears her out now. Okay, go.
All right, so we've got one. I got to scroll to it. Hold up. Wait a minute.
Put a little love in it.
Felipe wants to wish his wonderful wife, Elise, a happy birthday.
I think you
birthday.
Mean Philip E.
Stop it.
Guillermo is right now going, yes.
Stop it. Elise is turning 33. She's a great mom, wonderful wife, incredible friend to all that know her.
What's her name, Elise? Oh, awesome. Happy birthday, Elise.
And then Cole, a.k.a. Cool, wants to wish himself a happy birthday.
Nice. He's give himself a cool nickname. So cool.
Said, hey, guys, it's Cole from South Carolina, and I'm 12 turning 13 tomorrow. Cool.
Nice.
He said, I've been listening to WayFM since I was 5. I also have been a potty since 2019.
Wow.
I would love the birthday song if possible.
Absolutely possible. For anybody named Cool, 100%. Happy birthday.
We have a question from Regina.
Okay.
This is simple and to the point. If you can only have one drink for the rest of your life,
easy.
What would it be?
Coca-Cola Classic. I don't even think twice about it. Like, it's,
but when your kidneys are actively failing,
yes.
And they say, sir, you will die in 5 minutes if you don't drink water.
Are you going to really choose water?
No, I would be like, can you take that bag that I'm hooked up to and that has IV solution in it and fill it with Coke, please?
Yep. Oh my God.
Die happy.
Yeah, absolutely.
I
was on vacation last week and I'd had more. I didn't have as much soda as I bought, so I was pretty happy about that. But mm-hmm. I had been drinking more soda like out at restaurants and stuff. And I started to feel like my kidney stones messing with me again. And so I did have to like start pounding some water. So I drank more water. Water in a couple days than I probably have in the last few months,
mm-hmm.
Just to kind of help out, and it did help.
You stick with it?
No. It got me through the pain.
Once you were feeling better, you're like
back to the soda. Exactly.
I can do it now.
I'll be a dead man.
Okay. I would say I would choose water.
But I actually
enjoy water. There are days where I just crave it.
Really?
Yes.
That's your body. Yeah. There are times when my body will crave it. But mine, I'm curious because you're so much healthier than me. I wonder why your body craves it. Mine, I get it. You're like, hey, we're all gummy up in here, so we need some water.
We're all gummy up in here, yes. Now, if water wasn't an option, then I would go with sweet tea.
Yeah.
For sure, sweet tea. But I would probably die at an early age.
Yeah. Gavin, would you go Mountain Dew?
No, I'd go coffee.
Oh.
Pretty easily. Okay. Just in the sense that you could go either way. You can go, cold brew.
Oh, that's true. That's
get
good
it
thought.
Hot. You can get it decaf if good I didn't want to die.
That's a good thought. Yeah. And it keeps you awake.
Yeah.
Which is nice. Yeah, that's a good call. Do you drink hot coffee in the summer?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I have two of these every day, and I've been doing that all summer. So.
Oh, no.
Yep. It's not hot in here.
Yeah.
It's getting hot in here.
That's why we keep it cold in here, Gavin. So you won't live out that song.
Good call.
Hey, guys, why is it 30 degrees in the studio? We're not taking any chances. All right. That's going to end up doing it for your Aftercast for today. And as always, thanks for being a potty.